These days, many moral questions come to mind, especially with states that are accepting same-sex marriages, as they are called. And the question comes up in regard to the Christian's position regarding this particular topic. Well, of course, there can be various positions held by individuals who claim to be Christians or who are Christians that are mistaken, as in Romans chapter 1 and chapter 2. The Apostle Paul wrote regarding such matters as men with men and women with women, doing those things that he says are unbecoming. They're not the right thing to do. There's no future in that particular kind of practice. Oh, there may be personal pleasure and personal vanity involved, but there'll be no future generation. There'll be no children forthcoming. There'll be no one to be taught about God and His righteous way of creation and the power that He's given within each one of us to have the ability to procreate as well as to teach His glory to the people that are coming up in the next generation of time. Paul was real concerned about that coming about, and said that God gave them over to that way of life. And the fact that they were given over to that way of life simply said that they simply had no future. Their lifetime was the only lifetime there was. Their years were the only years that would be involved. Is this the nature of God? I, in study of the Bible, find that God has described Himself many times, such as back in the book of Genesis chapter 4, and Genesis 9 in verse 4, when He said, "Life is in the blood. And if man shall shed man's blood by his life and his way of doing murder, then his life or blood would be shed as well. And his life would be executed because he was so hurtful to his fellow man." The Bible tells us that God loves life. And those who take life and those who misuse life are certainly not doing right. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon addressed seven great things that he said the Lord hates. And one of those things is noted, he that sheds innocent blood. Could you find more innocent blood than a child that is developing in the womb? Could you find more innocent blood than a child who is being aborted by decision made for personal vanity and personal glory and personal satisfaction? Certainly the body has a way in which God has invested within it the ability to see and to note many times that there are things that should not be forthcoming, and thus there is a natural abortion that's taking place within the human body. At the same time, for people to choose to have abortions on the basis of this child doesn't fit my plans, this is not my schedule, and so forth and so on, those sort of decisions are made. Can you find more innocent blood? And can you find an application more appropriate than the passage in Proverbs 6 that notes to us, God hates those who shed innocent blood? Someone says, well, God is a God of love. He's not a God of hate. Normally speaking, God is a God of great love. But He loves a lot less those that do evil. Look at Psalm 7, verse 11. The Lord is angry with the wicked every day. He loves the wicked. He loves people. He does not love what they do. And He hates the things that they do that are evil and against the right way of the Lord. And in regard to this matter, the Lord hates those who do evil and wrongdoing. And as you note there in Proverbs 6 about it, you'll find that the Lord God of heaven opposed seven things that are noted there, ranging all the way from personal vanity and pride, of course, to those who shed innocent blood. May I call upon you to recognize the nature of God is involved with life first and foremost. But secondly, the nature of God, He taught us that He is the author of truth. Jesus said regarding His ministry and the ministry of His Father in heaven that His word will judge us in the last day. John 12, verses 48 and 49. He said, "These words I speak unto you, not my own, but the Father gave me these words. This is the commandment of the Father to you." In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, "He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I will liken him unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock." He had just said in Matthew 7, verse 21, "Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven." We need to do the will of the Heavenly Father, and the will involves truth. Also, the nature of God is not only filled with life and truth, but also fairness. God is fair. He carries out his will in fairness. Someone says, "Well, what about this world in which we live?" We do not live in the world that God immediately created for Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were placed in the garden of paradise. They, in their sin, were banished from that garden and placed into a world of uncertainty. This earth of uncertainty that they met would bring about ultimately their death, and they would be taken back to the dust from whence they were made. That's what the Lord said in Genesis 3 in regard to their sins. But initially, God prepared a paradise for man and his wife. They were to dress and till and keep the garden. They were not to eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. In the day that they ate thereof, they would surely die. Thus it is that God recognized that they personally had the strength to come back in the garden and eat of the tree of life and live forever on earth. And thus he banished them from and placed cherubims with flaming swords, it is noted, to keep them from re-entering into that garden of paradise. Why could not God have just chosen to zap them and stop them as he knew their minds and stop them? He could have done it that way and did do it that way in other instances. But in that particular instance, he set forth a pattern for us to recognize that he uses various methods and means whereby to stop the sinful actions of mankind, pressed upon, forced upon God to recognize in his word. And thus the tree of life still had the blessing of God, no matter they had sinned, and now they were banished from that garden and banished from that tree of life into an earth filled with uncertainty. There's nothing quite as sure as uncertainty. Make a promise, make a statement, and you'll find that ultimately that often finds you telling a falsehood because it's just not going to happen just that way so many times in our lives. Let us be people then who say yes and no, truth and error, right and wrong. That's the nature of God, and be fair about it. Fairness is that God placed us in an earth of uncertainty, and along with that earth of uncertainty, he placed his providence. There are certain things that we do that we know that will hurt us and harm us. We should stay away from that. We should keep away from that. We should warn our children and our grandchildren to stay away from those things that are hurtful to us. On the other hand, there are things that are wonderful. There are things that are great, and they build up. And as a result, we should teach our children such things as doing right, planting a garden, saving a little bit of one's prosperity for a rainy day. Those kind of things are wonderful ideas to teach to our children and our children's children. And to learn within ourselves, we'll learn it soon enough, because if we disuse these providential plans, we'll find ourselves often being without on a cold winter's night. But if we use them, we'll find that there is food in the cupboard. There'll be plenty that's there to share even with others that didn't make their plans early enough. And because of that love we have for our fellow man, we want to show fairness toward them and fairness return. And thus it makes community living a wonderful adventure for us here upon this earth. Our founding fathers of this republic in America did not develop an idea that hurt one another, but set up laws and regulations that would be fair. So many of these things have been changed in our generation of this 21st century so that there is unfairness. And so many companies have decided to go abroad rather than hire and work with people that are here in America. It's made us have a challenging time, to say the least. But nevertheless, people will learn from that, benefit from that. There are companies already that are coming back to America, employing American workers and so forth, that once went abroad to have the cheap labor done by little children and others that are there in other countries of the world, and bringing back those items and charging the prices as though they had been made here in America. They got rich off of that. They got a lot of money off of that. But by and by, the productivity was not good. It was not a good material used. It was something that played out sooner than it should have. And they got criticism for it as a company. And thus, many companies have decided to come back to America. Let's pray that more of them will. And let's also pray that more of us will teach our children to be good workers. That's the way of the nature of God. Fairness is a part of His life. And so He loves life. He loves truth. He loves fairness. You know, in the study that I've tried to set forth for you today, in this particular study, I hope that you recognize the place of God and how these things that God so loves and is the nature of God are so against the same-sex marriage and the homosexual agenda of our time. Love the people. Love their right conduct. Do not appreciate it all and teach against the practice where in just one generation it comes and goes. It's not here anymore. Read for yourself Paul's writings in Romans chapters 1 and 2 regarding the nature of God and the choice of same-sex ideals. Thanks for your study with us today. Please write me about your thoughts and ideas in view of what God has said.